We're going to read in the book of Luke chapter 17 today. And if you'll look there with me, Luke 17, we'll read beginning with verse 22. Luke 17 and 22. And he said unto the disciples, "The days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. They shall say unto you, see here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of one part under heaven shineth into the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also it was as in the day of Lot, as in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. One shall be taken, and the other left." And they answered and said unto him, "Where, Lord?" And he said unto them, "Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together." That's an interesting verse, isn't it? Wherever the eagles are, wherever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together. You've probably seen it before. Birds of prey flying around, hovering over a particular area, and you know, something has died. Something has died. And that's what he's saying there. He said, just as sure as these birds of prey hover over something that is dead, so shall you also be able to know the signs, the evidences of the last days and of the coming of the Lord. Just trying to look at this from the perspective of the world, the culture that we live in today is a culture, it's an end time culture that proves to us that Jesus is coming soon. Amen. Praise God. When we use that word culture, it's used quite a lot today because it describes kind of a way of life, the way people live, the way people think. It describes the attitude and the behavior of a certain group of people or maybe a nation of people. And so when we talk about an end time culture, you can look in God's word, and I will give you some examples here from Luke 17 of some of the things that are happening right now that prove without a doubt that we are running swiftly toward the day that Jesus is to come really, really soon. Amen. And for me, I see a renewed interest in the message of the coming of the Lord. I don't know if it's just all the trouble in our world. The last couple of years, people have kind of decided, this world is not my home. I'm passing through. I want to get out of here. And I'm ready to make my escape out of this world. So there is this renewed desire for the coming of the Lord. I can imagine that these Ukrainians that are running for their lives, many of them are praying, Lord, would you just come? Would you just come and deliver us from all of this calamity that is happening to us? And so if there's a bright side of all the troubles and the negative things that have been happening in the last couple of years, it should be the fact that we've loosened a little bit of our connection and our ties with this old world. Amen. And that's a good thing, because we have a tendency to be so connected to the world, so invested in the world. But we need a renewed desire and a new focus upon the hope that we have in Jesus, and the hope that we have that surely He is coming very, very soon, and that we would prepare ourselves to be ready for that day. Amen. The early church, actually all the way up to about the 13th century, it was a common thing in the early church when Christians would greet one another. It wasn't like we do, God bless you. It was Maranatha. That was the first century Christian greeting, Maranatha, which is just really like a prayer. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha was the greeting. It was in the thoughts. It was in the minds. It was their meditation. Early Christians were thinking about the imminent coming of Jesus. They believed it. Jesus had told them He was going to come again. They believed it was going to happen. Now, they believed it 2,000 years ago. They greeted one another with a prayer, come Lord Jesus. Why is it that we're in an age when a lot of people have forgotten about it? And even among folks in Bible-believing Christians, Bible-believing churches, we're not talking about it as much as we should be talking about it. And maybe all of these things in our world right now are reminding us of the fact that this world is not our home. Amen. Praise God. Book of Haggai, chapter 2 and verse 7, describing the last day, some of the last day events being prophesied. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. That's not the only place. There's a couple of places in the scripture where the coming Messiah, the coming Jesus, is called the desire of all nations. That the people of the world would begin to look to the possibility. Right now, a lot of people that are even secular-minded people, maybe not truly Bible-believing people, but they're wondering and they're even questioning. It's a part of their conversation. Could this be the last days? Are these the end times? Could what I have heard in the past but rejected and denied, could it be possible that all this is really true and that we are coming to the close of this age? Amen. Well, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we just need to stay in that position, in that posture of always expecting, a posture of expectation. Jesus could come today. Jesus could come before this day is over with. Jesus could come this week. And it's a motivator. Not only is it a motivator, but it is an encourager to us. As we look to the Lord, we understand that it is our blessed hope. It's a comfort to us to know that when things get really, really bad, and before all of this terrible tribulation period comes our way, the saints of God are going to make their escape out of this world. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, we may have some tribulation. We may have go through some things. I understand there may be some persecution, some trying situations, but I believe the big tribulation period, I believe that time is going to be a day that we're going to escape from this world. Praise God for the hope that we have. So we as the church should be in a posture of expectation. Jesus could come at any day. Praise God. Jesus could come, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. We are looking for the coming of the Lord. So what is this culture? It's a culture when people are beginning to think about and to realize this might be the end of this age. Both in the church and even outside of the church, people's minds, all the events and the tragedies and the horribleness of events around the world are reminding us that surely this is all getting ready to come to a close. Praise the name of the Lord. That's part of the culture that we live in. But then he describes an increase in false teaching and false prophets that would be a part of the last days. Yeah, a lot of false prophets. So there'll be those that will come and say, "Lo, go here, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And he shall say unto his disciples, "The days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not want to, shall not see it. And they shall say to you, 'See here,' or 'See there.' Go after them, nor follow them." All of these false prophets of these last days. This is a time, a season. This is the culture, the mindset, I guess I could say, when we need to be on guard as Christians. And the only antidote to the false is the truth. You need to know the truth. You need to know the Word of God. If you know God's Word, then whenever you hear something that doesn't quite ring true, then that's the Spirit of God quickening in you the truth of the Word of God. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute now. That doesn't really ring true. I don't really fully understand it, but it doesn't sound quite right to me. That is God by His Word and by His Spirit awakening you and reminding you of the fact that, yeah, in the last days there are going to be false prophets, false teachers, false preachers, and that we need to be aware of that fact. Matthew 24, it says, "Then if any man shall say unto you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'There,' believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders." People, sometimes they want to run after the signs and the wonders. But the signs and the wonders were promised to the New Testament church, to the local church. So you don't have to travel across the country to some particular preacher or prophet. If you have the Word of God and the anointing of the Spirit of God in your life and in our church, then there will be signs and wonders following them that believe. God will prove Himself with signs and wonders. Don't go running after it. And it says, "And if possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Again, let me just remind you that the only way that we can combat against a spirit of deception is know the truth. Know the truth. And I know it's elementary when we say read your Bible and pray every day, but the more of the Word of the Lord that you get in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit, the more prepared you will be for the last days to be able to counter all the things of these last days. If it doesn't ring true in your spirit, then stop. Don't go after that. Don't allow that to affect you. Be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of God, no matter who says it or where you hear it. If it's on the radio, if it's a TV preacher, if it's some book you've picked up to read, always be sensitive. Always be on guard. I've got books back there in my library where I read it and I marked through a line or a paragraph or X'd out a paragraph and wrote out in the column of that, "This is not accurate. This is not true. I don't believe this." I don't believe it. Just because it's a good book, it doesn't mean that it's totally true. Be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of God. Allow the Word of God to sink deep into your heart, into your spirit. Let it become second nature to you to know the truth so that you can be able to face the challenges in the culture of these last days. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 2. "But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness they shall with feigned words, the word means fake, they shall through covetousness or selfishness with their feigned words will make merchandise of you. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Ministries, churches, preachers, it's obvious that really the thing that's motivating them is they want your money. They want your money. They want to somehow materially profit. And the Bible warns about false prophets and false teachers. They were in it only for what they could get out of it, making merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Be on guard. Amen. Be on guard. There are preachers, there are teachers, there are so-called prophets. There are people speaking supposedly in the name of the Lord and speaking for the Christian community. And you need to be on guard and make sure that they are speaking the truth. And if not, turn them off. Amen. Don't pay any attention to them. The last day culture will be a culture filled, permeated with false teachers and false doctrine. Amen. Amen. So be on guard. Be on guard. Amen. You know, the coming of the Lord is going to be, it is the next great event on God's calendar, I believe. I believe that the church has experienced a lot of things, and you can read in the history of the church, but next is the coming of the Lord. Is everybody going to be aware? This is not something that's going to be, it's going to happen in private or in secret. According to God's word, verse 24, it says, "For as the lightning that lighteneth out of one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day." You know how that lightning flashes in the dark night in the springtime when the storms come, and it's sudden and it lights up the sky and completely lights up the sky. So shall it be when the Son of Man comes. It will be quick, it will be sudden, and everyone will be able to see it. Everyone will know it. Revelation 1 and 7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall behold him." Does that mean that everyone is going to know that the coming of the Lord has taken place, the rapture of the church has taken place? No. As a matter of fact, we know we live in a world when the truth and falseness is promoted in media and the public forum, and it's the craziest, most unbelievable time you could ever imagine, because one network is saying, "Well, this is what's going on," and a network is saying the complete opposite, and nobody knows what the truth is. Unless you are in tune with the Word of God. Unless you're in tune. And so obviously, when millions of people are caught out of this world in the rapture of the church, they are not going to know what's happened. And the ones that they will explain it away, they'll say it's some natural phenomenon. Science is taking care of the overpopulation. And it's just naturally happened in our world. And they'll have some way to explain it away. But they're going to know that something dramatic and powerful has happened in our world. Every eye shall behold him. Amen. It's not going to be something that's going to be hidden. It's going to be spectacular. It's going to be a sudden event. And the Lord is going to come for all of those that are looking for him. Praise God. 2 Timothy 4 and 8, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them that love his appearing." Praise God. Amen. That's the company we need to be a part of. People that long for it, that look for it, that love is appearing. They're looking for that wonderful day when Jesus is to come. Amen. And then he says that it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. and the days of Lot. It's going to be just like those days, he said, and that as it was in the days of Noah, verse 26, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. So just like it was in the days of Noah, just like it was. Those days of Noah were wicked days. They were evil days. As a matter of fact, the whole world was consumed with wickedness. It's what it says in Genesis chapter 6. The Lord says, my spirit will not always strive with man, for that he is also, that he is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Isn't that an interesting verse? Their thoughts, their actions, they were consumed with it. Only on evil. That's all they could think about. They were consumed with wickedness and evil. The whole culture was just swallowed up in wickedness. As the days of the coming of the Lord will be just like it was in the days of Noah. We live in a world right now where the whole culture is just completely consumed with the things of this world and wickedness and evil, just like it was in the days of Noah. And it says, the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And God is saying, I'm going to judge this wicked generation. But the Bible, the next verse, is the wonderful verse that says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Praise God. Which lets me know that just as it was then, so it will be at the end of this age. There's hope for those that find grace in the eyes of the Lord. There's hope for some who will call out to God, who will repent and turn to Jesus and begin to serve the Lord. Yeah, it will be a day of judgment when the Lord comes, but it will also, these last days are also a door of grace, an opportunity for people to come to the Lord, because God will provide hope and salvation. That ark, which is a wonderful type of salvation and of Jesus Christ himself, saving Noah's family from the judgment that was coming upon the earth. So does the Lord provide the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the message of the gospel as a place where the lost can run to and be safe from the impending judgment that's coming to the world. Just like it was in the days of Noah, just like it was in the days of Lot, he said. Verse 28, likewise also it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Yes. Consumed with wickedness. Sodom and Gomorrah was filled with wickedness and perversion. It was such a wicked place that deserved the judgments of God. Lot, the Bible says that Lot had set his direction. He pitched his tent toward Sodom. He moved in that direction and eventually found himself living in Sodom. And before long, he's sitting in the gates of Sodom. He's risen up to a place of prominence in the city of Sodom. And his whole family is being affected by the corruption and the perversion of that city. All of them are being affected there, and even Lot was affected by it, the Bible says. Verse 16 of chapter 19, the Bible says that God had sent angels, two angels, to come and to warn them of the judgment that was coming upon Sodom and Gomorrah, telling them to leave the city, get out while you can, get out of the city, judgment is coming. But notice verse 16, and while he lingered, Lot lingered. God sent angels to warn him and to deliver him and his family, but Lot lingered. That tells me that Sodom had gotten into his heart.
that the things of the world had gotten into his heart, and he lingered. So much so, it says, that the men, the angels, laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Lot was lingering. His wife had set her affection. We know that a little bit later on, her heart was so set upon the city of Sodom, that she turned back after being warned to not even look back. She turned back and turned into a pillar of salt. But his whole family lingered. Their hearts were affected by the culture and by the system of Sodom and Gomorrah. Angels had to get them by the hand and literally drag them out of the city. Get them out of the city, outside of the city, and for them to be delivered. But in both cases, both with Noah and both with Lot and his family, they are delivered just in time from judgment. They're delivered just in time. Now, we know that the Bible says that Lot was a righteous man. He was a just man. It says in 2 Peter chapter 2 that God delivered just Lot. He was just. That was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. The word there, conversation, doesn't just mean talk. The word means their behavior, their actions. He was there in Sodom, and he was vexed. His spirit was vexed by what was going on. I have to tell you that my spirit gets vexed by what's going on in our world right now. My spirit gets vexed with all the foolishness and the wickedness of this world. And verse 8, it says, "For that righteous man, dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." He was vexed. He was troubled. He saw what they were doing, the awful, perverted lifestyles that they were living. He saw it, but somehow he lingered there. It got a hold of his mind and his heart, and he literally had to be dragged out of the city. That's the kind of world we're living in right now. That's the same culture that we're living in today, right now. Is Jesus coming soon? Absolutely. Just like it was in the days of Noah, just like it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be. The wonderful thing that we learn from Noah and from Lot is that God will have a righteous remnant. That God will have those that he will save and that will be delivered from judgment and delivered from the tribulation and all of that. We're going to escape this place. The Bible says in verse 34, "I tell you that in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left." Gives three examples of this same idea of a righteous person with an unrighteous person, and how the righteous person will be taken out, caught out. Amen. We believe in the doctrine of the rapture of the church. We believe that that believers washed in the blood of the Lamb, born again Christians, are going to be raptured out of this world. And it's going to be quick and instant, and it's going to be a judgment upon those around us in this world who do not know Jesus Christ. Amen. So there will be a righteous remnant. That's the kind of world that we're living in right now, folks. This is the age of the coming of the Lord. Amen. It is the age of the coming of the Lord. Amen. My notes are stuck together here. It says that they ate, they drank, they builded, they planted, they went right on. How many times have we heard over the last 2 years where people were saying, "Oh, I just wish things would get back to normal. Normal. We want normal." Doesn't matter. Even after the coming of the Lord, the world will find a new normal. They'll just go right on with their living. Life will go on in the midst of all of this perversion and all of this wickedness. The sad thing about it today is that if we're not careful, we will be like Lot. We'll learn to tolerate it, and then after a while, it becomes something that we accept and we celebrate it even. That's what's happened in our world today. Things that, when I was a young person, were condemned and would not even be talked about in public are now celebrated in public. It's the most incredible time I've ever seen, which speaks to us so clearly of the fact that the Lord is coming soon. The Lord is coming soon. And we need to prepare ourselves for His soon coming. So what do we do? Do we just kind of retreat to find a cave or a hiding place somewhere and hold out until the Lord comes? Oh, no. Oh, no. We've got business to do until Jesus comes. If He comes this week or next year, however soon it is, He needs to find faith in the earth. He needs to find people here who recognize we have a mission, and that mission is declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. Live and shine our light to a dark world, and understand that we're on a mission from God to reach as many people as we can for Jesus Christ. Amen. Investing more than we ever have before, doing more than we ever have before. You see, because the world has a mission too. The world's mission is to conform you to it. Conform you to this world. That's the reason why we have high-profile preachers that are accepting of perversion and sin and saying things like, well, we can't really say it's a sin. We don't really know that it's a sin. And I'm talking about high-profile preachers that have big TV programs with thousands of people watching them, and they refuse to take a stand against the perverted lifestyles of this last generation. They refuse to do it because they want the world... system wants you to be conformed to the thinking of this world. But our job is to see that people are not conformed, but rather transformed by the power of the gospel. Amen. Changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's our calling. That's our mission. Until Jesus comes, to stay busy in the kingdom, doing what we can and obeying the voice of the Lord, giving and sacrificing and investing in the work of the kingdom of God. That's what next month of April is all about here at our church every year, as we emphasize missions throughout the month and that we recognize the importance of this last day commission to be used of the Lord, reach as many people as we can. Yeah, we're living in this end time culture right now. We're right in the middle of it right now. And it's all around us, all of these things. And the Lord is coming soon. And when we see all of these signs that are taking place, then let it remind us of the reality of His soon return. And let's get ready. Amen. Let's prepare our hearts and help as many people as we can to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand, everybody. Thank you, Lord, for the truths of your word and a reminder to us, Lord, of your soon coming. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this blessed hope, Lord, of your soon coming. And I pray, Lord, that message, Lord, would just ring true in the hearts of your people. And Lord, that all of us, Lord, would see the importance of being ready for your soon coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Surely, Lord, we are living in these days. We see it all around us, all the events that are taking place. Lord, may we be alert. May we be prepared, Lord, for these days. Use us, Lord, this last day, advancing of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So I want to make an appeal to anyone in this service today, any one of you, that if the Lord came today, if He came before 12 o'clock, you're not ready. You're not ready.
There are going to be people all around you that are going to disappear and they're going to be gone. And you are not ready for the coming of the Lord. This is your day. This is your day to turn to the Lord. I want to welcome you to this altar. I want to welcome you to come. We want to pray with you. We will. Others here will be happy to pray with you. If you don't know Jesus, please come. Make your heart ready. Get ready for the coming of the Lord. And the only way you can do that is to be a born-again child of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.